I remember the last time I was preaching, I mentioned that I had been praying that the passage would be encouraging and motivating. I don't know if you remember that or not. And I was just out of the blue overtaken with emotion. I couldn't speak for a bit, so I'm not going to say that this week. But it's been going on. You know, I was thinking, we're going to need a lot of love here at OBC in the days ahead. The reason I say that is
Wow, these mics, I tell you. That was my bad. Karen is pointing out to me that I don't have my mic on, so thank you for that. And Nick, thanks for trying to help me out, because you turned it up because you're thinking, what's my mic doing? Well, I think we're going to need a lot of love in the days ahead here at OBC. And a couple of things I have on my mind, and the reason I bring that up is because a couple of weeks ago, we just said goodbye to longstanding pastor and his wife, Pastor Steve and Beth, who, if you consider vacation time, had been here 45 weeks a year for the last 32 years. And that's just not something you get over with. You get over just like that. It takes a little bit. I mean, I would say that most of us haven't even begun to process our thoughts and emotions and everything connected with that. And then just last week, we had Pastor Bob and Pat here, and I see I'm in good company with him because we both have mic problems. And we're going to vote next week on whether to call him as our interim pastor. And I'm going to leave it with the Lord, and I'll leave it with you to decide. But I just want to say that Pastor Bob and I have already decided that we're going to work extremely well together. And so given the opportunity, I'm looking forward to working with him. And we'll know what God intends next week. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to say that we don't have a loving church, because we have a loving church in many ways. 2008, when Melinda and I arrived on the scene, we felt very welcome and loved. And I know the laymans have expressed that they felt extremely welcome and loved as they've come, and many other people through the years have said that they have felt that love that we have as a church. And quite frankly, that just makes me feel good. Feel good about our church. I'm grateful to go to a church that loves people and welcomes people. Now let me clarify too that I'm not talking about this idea where you see the issues in a person's life and you want to fix them all. I'm not talking about that, because that's not love. I'm talking about love as the Apostle Paul defines love, and he did it very eloquently in 1 Corinthians 13. I'm sure you know the passage. You know, he said, love is patient, it's kind, it's not rude, doesn't keep any record of wrongs, never rejoices in falsehood, but rejoices in the truth, always hopes, always believes, always perseveres, and it never ends or never fails, depending on what translation you're using. Now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now that is a wonderful filter that we can use in our lives. In fact, if you think about it, having that with us on a 3x5 card and using it right before we get into conversations with people, tough conversations, it might be good to just read through that model, that definition of prayer. Because I know I don't do it perfectly, but I'm here to tell you, if you're about ready to have a tough conversation or a conversation in general, and you just work through those first three filters, patient, kind, and it's not rude, that's going to can a lot of conversations. And maybe they need to happen, but we're going to have them later. We're not going to have them right at that moment. Oh, how I wish I would have used that that model and that filter this week as I conversed with Melinda. It started out so peacefully. I just said, reminding her of an appointment that we had. And then she said, I never told her. Does that sound familiar? And then I used the Christian loving word, fine. F-I-N-E, fine. And then I shut the door so the wind wouldn't blow it back open. Because we have that problem at our house. The wind gusts and the door blasts open. I did apologize to my wife, and she was gracious and loving and accepting. Thank you, honey. I appreciate that. So what a wonderful filter we're given in 1 Corinthians 13. And there's one other thing that we ought to consider here just for a moment, and that's the idea of fear. Fear and love don't go together. John writes in 1 John that perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment, judgment, criticism, but not love. Love has to do with a relationship with each other and our relationship with God. So I just say that if you're going into this transition period fearful, you're going to have a hard time loving. And we're going to need a whole lot of love here. I'm going to need a lot of love from you because there's just too much going on for me. I'm going to drop the ball. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. I'm going to forget something important. And maybe you will too. And we'll be able to express that love back and forth to each other. You know, there's a statement in our culture. I don't know if you've heard it or not. But it's a response to I love you. And the response is, love you more. And I think we're going to need that in the days ahead here at OBC, that we're going to need to love each other more. And I know you're up to the task to do it because the Bible tells me that you are and that I am. Well, 1 Peter 1, 22 through 25 is where we'll be today. And I'm going to start reading at verse 20. I also want to tell you that God has a special gift for us in verse 25. But you're going to have to wait till we get there to receive it. All right? 1 Peter 1, I'll begin in verse 20. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Verse 22, which is the beginning of our passage for this morning, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. So when you consider that verse, it's easy to see that the central aspect of that verse is that we're to love one another. And there are some observations about that love that are going to be helpful to us as we look at it. Now, the first observation is loving is holy living. Loving is holy living. It's a little more difficult to see that in the text. Having purified, the root of that word is the same root of holy in verse 15. So God is holy and he's called us to holy conduct. And so having purified our souls, so loving is holy living. Now, what about this idea of living with a purified or holy soul? What does that look like? Any ideas? I know you can't holler at me, even though it wouldn't bother me if you did. What does that look like in our lives? Now, I don't know if you routinely do word studies when you study the Bible. Anybody do those when they study, word studies? It's okay if you don't. A word study simply is taking a particular word, like soul, and looking at all the usages of it in the New Testament, or looking at all the usages of it in the Old Testament, or both. And it's quite an ordeal, because some of these words are used many times. And when you're trying to get the context of the passage they're used in, it can take some time. But what you end up with is a beautiful layout of all the nuances of what that word intends, and you get a better idea of what it is that God's trying to say. So let's just do a few just to get the idea. So Matthew says, don't worry about those that can kill the body because they can't kill the soul. And he also says, there's rest for your soul. Remember where that came from? Great passage out of Matthew 11 where we yoke up with Jesus and we can find rest for our soul. Mark said, what does it profit a man if all his concern is for all the perishable things, but he loses his very soul? And then Luke wrote that our Lord's mother, Mary, magnified the Lord from her soul. So as I stand up here today and I look out at you all, I can't see your soul. I can only see your body. Soul is an immaterial aspect of us. And you get the sense as we just look at those few verses quickly that your soul is a welling place where our attitudes come from and our praise for God comes from. And it's an invincible area where man can't touch it. It's a very spiritual area. So living with a purified soul simply means that we're living in a way that we're desiring God in every aspect and avenue of our lives. And I know we don't do that completely, and I don't do it completely now, but there's coming a day when we will. So loving is holy living. That's the first observation that we want to make. Second observation is that loving and truth go together. You know, from time to time, I'll get a call from somebody from the church, or I'll call them, and what's happened is they've left their Bible here. And sometimes they'll tell me, don't worry about it, because I have several Bibles at home, so I'll be able to keep reading the Bible. And, you know, it's funny, but it's encouraging to me, actually. Because you just can't go from Sunday to Sunday and expect to love people from truth, can you? We need to be integrated in hearing the Word of God more than that in our lives. You know, because the main danger is the truth you're living by true? So in other words, is truth true? And we know the further we get away from the God and we get into culture that we are enculturated. We don't even realize it, how far away we shift. And loving and truth, they go hand in hand with God's Word. You know, we're in the graduation season. Not just here, but many students are graduating, Christian students, and they're going off to colleges, some going off to secular universities. And those students would be wise to stay in the Word of God, and we would be wise to pray for them. Because they're going to be inundated with truth at times that isn't true. And they're going to have to make a decision. And I don't know about you, but I want them to make the decision based on God's Word, not just what they're thinking or feeling. I might have mentioned this before, but I went through a certification with the state of Michigan to be an HIV screener. And I screened many people, mostly folks from Western Michigan University. And in that training that only lasted 5 days, and I'm not saying this with any pride, but I was grounded in the Bible. I understood sexuality and God's plan for it. I was rock solid. I was working for alternatives. I better be rock solid. But after that 5 days, and people back at the organization, Alternatives, anticipating issues that I may have debriefed me and drew me back towards the truth of God. Because I got to admit, I was thinking, man, I don't know. Maybe we could tweak some of these things a little bit. I mean, after all, it's the Bible's 2,000 years old. Does it have any relevance? I mean, it's a different time, different culture. And I'm not going to yell, but absolutely not. Absolutely not. So we're to love each other, and we have to understand that that loving goes hand in hand with truth. In fact, he says, having purified our souls by our obedience to the truth. That's how we love. Here's the last observation out of this particular verse. That loving doesn't originate in us, okay? We know it doesn't because the way the verse ends, that we're loving from a pure heart. Love from a pure heart. Who's got a pure heart out here? That's what I thought. None of us do. It takes God to purify, and it's an aggressive love, if you will. So it's a love that originates outside of us, that being God's love, and it's like an invasion in our lives where God injects his love into us. Now, here's the thing. I don't know that if it'll be surprising or not, but I think you should buckle your seatbelt on this one just to get ready for it. You're looking at me, but I'm not sure you're ready. You probably caught this in the scripture. He says, having purified our souls by obedience to the truth, for, what comes after that for is very important. What comes after it? For a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. The whole focus and reason for the gospel in the sanctified life is so that we love one another. If you're a believer and you're not loving each other, you've missed the whole point of the sanctified life. We're to love. That's how they'll know us, by our love. Well, I hope we haven't missed that. So we're to love each other, and there's a reason for it, and that reason is because we've been made new. Since we've been made new. Verse 23 says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. Now, I was looking at that and wondering, what is it that Peter wants us to understand and feel from that particular verse? What does he want us to understand through the not perishable seed but imperishable? And many commentators suggest that it's very helpful to look back up at verse 3, and I agree with them. It is helpful to gain clarification. So here's verse 3. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we have a couple of avenues, a couple of paths being mentioned here. One is through the living and abiding Word of God, and I'm going to pick up on the living aspect of that, the living Word of God. And the other is through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, this living hope. Way to look at that is that the resurrection of Christ is a historical event, isn't it? Even in Peter's day, it was a historical event, and that's what he's referencing there, that historical event leads us to a living hope. But when he gets up into verse 23, and he's talking about not perishable seed, but imperishable seed, through the living and abiding Word of God, he's talking about the point of salvation or when you were saved. Do you remember where you were when you were saved? I was out at Gull Lake Bible conference at the chapel. Was anybody here when they were saved? Saved at OBC? No? This living hope isn't that far away from the imperishable seed, I don't believe. Because being saved, putting off perishable, putting on the imperishable, brings about a hopefulness, I think. And so I don't think those two verses are as far apart as what they might look at the beginning. In fact, if you consider 1 Corinthians 15, 50 and beyond, where he says, we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. And then he goes on, Paul goes on to talk about that we're going to put off the perishable and put on the imperishable. Put off the mortal, put on the immortality, because that's what we need to inherit the kingdom of God. So we're to love each other since we've been made new, and there's a tremendous hopefulness inside of that, made new through the living Word of God. You know, the Word of God is referred to as living and active in Hebrews 4:12, and you recall that passage? It's living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's cutting us apart as we grow. It's kind of a bloody mess when you think about it, if you have the courage to look into the Bible. But here, the Bible is living and active as well. It's saving us, making us new, giving us the opportunity to love one another. Well, we're to love one another since we've been made new through the abiding Word of God. And I said there's a gift that God has for us in this verse, in verse 25. And we're going to get there. But Peter is quoting Isaiah 40, chapter 40, 6 through 8. And he says, all the flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls. If I can temporize that and put it inside of our thinking this morning, I would just say that anything you're concerned about that has anything to do with this finite world is going to fade, it's going to wither. I'm very thankful that diabetes is going to wither. Cancer is going to wither. Concerns that we have with our spouse right now, if you have any. Anybody have any? They're going to wither. Anybody worried about having enough money to retire? A lot of us are retired. That's not going to matter. Sorry, John. All of that's going to fall and be meaningless. But the word of the Lord remains forever. Now here's the gift God has for us here. Most of the time, when we see the English word in the Bible, word, translated word, it means logos. It means written and verbal is how we typically interpret that. But in this particular translation, but the word of the Lord remains forever. It's being translated from a Greek word, rhema. We got to be careful how we translate and understand that word because it means utterances of God. But here's the gift. There's a place in Scripture, 1 Peter 1:25, where God actually says to us, literally, that He's speaking to us from His Word. We understand that to be true, but here He says it. He says, but my speech to you remains forever. Now, I hope that's a gift. I mean, I feel chills going up my spine when I think about it. The literal statement of God. And when he says, and this rhema, or this word, is the good news that was preached to you. What I'm telling you, he says, is exactly what it is I want you to know. The good news of the gospel that saves you. It brings you into a capacity to love each other since we've been made new through the living and abiding Word of God. Can we love each other more in the days ahead? I think we can. I'm up to the challenge. It just simply goes like this. Love you more. Father, in the days ahead, would you bless us with the ability to love at the capacity that you've given us to love each other? And I know we're supposed to love the world as well, but that's not what you're telling us here. You're telling us that there's a deep-rooted, ingressed love from you that we have as your followers. And it's our life mission to take that love that you've put in us and to love each other. Not just today, but in the days ahead. I want to thank you for OBC and the love that exists here at this church and the wonderful people that you've organized that come here. And Lord, I would pray that as we're challenged in the days ahead, that the challenges would lead us to the definition of your love and that we would be known throughout our community as a church that absolutely loves each other and has a tremendous love for you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen.